Paid maternity leave is a common employee benefit in much of the industrialized world. It is a harder sell here in the United States, although some prosperous companies with a need to attract and keep workers in a competitive environment have been setting a pattern which may become a trend. Adobe, Netflix, Microsoft, and Goldman Sachs have extended their paid maternity leave periods from a few weeks to several months. In France, the paid maternity leave is 16 weeks. The cost to the French economy and treasury is well over $10 billion a year, costs recouped in part in increased productivity and family stability and other quality of life measures. By contrast, a federal proposal in the U.S. Congress would partially pay workers to take 12 weeks off to care for a new baby or sick family member. The proposal would be paid for by an employee contribution of less than $2 a week. A proposal from Republicans would allow hourly workers to put their overtime toward paid caretaker leave. This is a far, far less investment than the French have done, but it's a start. President Obama has an executive order in the works that will extend a week of paid family leave to all federal contractors, bolstered by just $2.2 million in funding. And in June, the Labor Department announced a $1.25 million in grants for research on how to develop and implement paid leave programs. Sharon Lerner looks at the numbers and talks to women from various backgrounds in her new report, The Real War on Families, Why the U.S. Needs Paid Family Leave Now. The report is in the latest issue of In These Times. Lerner explained that only 13% of U.S. workers have access to paid family leave through their employers, and the unpaid family leave mandated by the Family and Medical Leave Act is very often not an option at all.
Just over half of workers are covered by the FMLA, so a whole bunch of people aren't. That offers 12 weeks unpaid. So because it's not paid, a lot of people, even if they're entitled to it, can't take it. So there are huge number of people who are going back weeks and days after giving birth. One in four was back in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I spoke to a lot of them, and as you can imagine, it's awful.
What are the stories? What are some of the stories?
Well, I started this story with a woman named Lee Ben Rahu, who had a very premature infant. He was born at 26 weeks, I believe. His survival was a real question. So she's been through a trauma. Her child is not necessarily going to make it. And she went back 12 days later because she had to. And I led with her because she was such an organized and thorough person. And she had gone to such lengths to make sure that she had paid leave, even though her job didn't provide it. So she purchased a supplemental insurance policy that was going to provide some time. And then she made sure that because her workplace was covered by the FMLA, she was going to get 12 weeks. And she planned it all that way. But unfortunately, she ended up giving birth less than a year after she started her job because the baby came so early. And she had even thought about the possibility of her baby coming early and sort of built in time to her planning. So it was one of those stories that to me just, it really brought home how you can be, you know, really careful and really thorough. But if we don't really have a system for protecting people, then you end up in these horrible situations.
And it's not a right, so it becomes subject to these bureaucratic details. And,
yes.
And if you don't meet the requirement, you're out of luck.
You are out of luck.
What about some other folks?
So I did a bunch of interviewing in Mississippi with some low-income moms, and Raven Osborne was back at IHOP waitressing full time 1 week after giving birth. And then a few weeks after that, because she needed money, she added some overnight shifts at a Texaco nearby. So she has at this point a 1 month old, and she's working 60-hour weeks and upwards, and sometimes not sleeping at all. And she talked about coming home and basically collapsing, you know, but doing it with like a hand on her baby, you know, just having touching him somewhat, and like how meaningful that was, even though she was asleep. And it's that thing of, you know, of course we all want to bond with our children, you know, it's natural. And when you can't, it's really traumatic.
Well, what kind of impacts, and you've alluded to it there, does this have on babies and parents? And, you know, talk about the long term and what's hard and fast in the data.
Right. So there's good data showing that women who go back very early are more likely to be depressed. A woman I interviewed who really spoke to that very well. She went back, I believe it was 3 weeks after having her son, and she was working in a factory where they were 12-hour shifts, and the factory was 1 hour from her house. So she was waking up at 4 in the morning because she wanted to pump, and ended up very quickly really depressed. And she hadn't been depressed before, and she was kind of describing it like an alien to another planet. She was like, well, I was biting my fingernails and I started crying a lot and I felt all alone and she went to the doctor to figure out what it was, and he diagnosed her as depressed. I mean, it made perfect sense to me that she would be affected this way. But with her and with a lot of the women I spoke to, I was really struck by the fact that they weren't expecting much else. Mm. And I think we are in this country very inured to this weird fact of how we often treat birth, which is sort of like, okay, great, back to work.
What do you say to people who listen to a conversation like this and go, well, you know, that's a nice conversation for, you know, upper middle class people who live in, you know, Brooklyn or in the suburbs to have, but it's just not a reality. It's nothing I can ever, ever think about doing if I'm, you know, a two-income household and struggling to make ends meet every month.
Right. And so I would say it isn't a reality. I completely agree. With the exception of three states, right now in this country, it is not a reality. But I do feel like there is this groundswell of frustration happening. And along with it is a legislative push that's happening in a number of states, including New York. And I think ultimately, in not that much time, we're hearing about it in the presidential race, I think we're going to see federal legislation. I'm not just being an optimist here. I think I'm being a realist. I think this is coming. But I do think that it is not realistic to expect your employer to do it out of the generosity of his or her heart. I think this has to come on a policy level.
Sharon Lerner is author of a new report called The Real War on Families, Why the U.S. Needs Paid Family Leave. The report is in the latest issue of In These Times magazine. In These Times, we should note, not noted for being terribly optimistic, but you are in this case. Thank you so much.
Thanks.